whole thing will blow up, probably, if you press the red. So, are you okay?
Yes.
Oh, jolly good. We're working. Yes, Phil's okay. It's like, yeah, we'll see what happens. Well, you know, not that I necessarily need it to be recorded, but because I never like hearing the sound of my own voice, believe it or not. Just want to add my thanks, actually. Judith mentioned earlier about the fun day we had yesterday up at St Mary's, which was a fantastic day, actually. And we gave out 275 tea tickets to people coming in. So if you think that we probably didn't give a tea ticket to everybody, although we were supposed to, don't tell them that. We didn't record that bit, obviously. So 275 tea tickets we gave out. I'm sure we missed a few people. And, of course, with all the team and the fabulous team of helpers that were there, we must have easily had in excess of 300, maybe 350 people in the church yesterday coming through St Mary's and in the garden and the craft tent and throwing water at the clergy with sponges and all that kind of fun stuff. So it was great, a really great day. And I want to add my thanks to everyone who took part in that and made it such a fantastic time. Now, I wonder, Helen, if you just put my picture up for me, that would be great. Oh, there we go. Now, does anyone know or want to have a guess where this is? No. Yes. Who said Lake District? Yes, well done. Okay, well done. It is the Lake District. Now, I know we've got a few Lake District aficionados here. Who likes going to the Lake District? Anyone? Oh, okay, right. So, okay, more on this side of the church than that side, it has to be. So it's like, where's the Lake District? Well, there are mountains there, lakes and stuff. What's all that about? Right, so who wants to have a guess as to where in the Lake District? I'm sorry, I know it's a bit difficult to see. Anyone want to? It's a bit difficult to see actually where that is, isn't it? Shall I tell you? Anyone want to have a guess where it might be? Sorry? No, I don't think so.
You don't even know.
I do know. It's climbing a peak. I was climbing a peak when I took this. It's near the bottom. No, it's not a Scarfell Pike. Other famous one. Sorry? It is, yes. It is near Helvellyn, yes. I think it's looking over sort of Oldswater and Glenridding from the bottom there, climbing up. So, yeah, that's where it is in the Lake District. Now, who likes going to places like the Lake District or the Peak District or the Highlands and just driving around and looking at the mountain scenery? Anyone like doing that?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, still. Oh, we've got two people over this side doing that. Okay. You know, it is fantastic, isn't it, to just go to these beautiful places. Although they do, the only downside is, of course, of going to places like the lakes or the Highlands is that it always rains a lot. So I do remember once when we were driving around the Highlands and it was chucking it down with rain and the weather forecast came on the radio and it said, oh, wow, the whole of Britain is just in this amazing heat wave. You know, it was in about June. Amazing heat wave across the whole of Britain. Fantastic weather, everyone's enjoying. Except for the West Coast Highlands of Scotland. It's like, oh, great, what did we come here for? But, you know, it is beautiful, though it does tend to rain a lot. But I have to confess that when I get out into mountain ranges and I'm driving around, and, you know, I do like going to tea shops. That is good fun. Not immune to the odd tea shop or two, as you could probably imagine. But, you know, I don't know if you're like me. When I'm ever in a place like the lakes or the Highlands or whatever, I just want to get out in the hills. Does anyone else like... I just want to get out in the hill. I want to get my boots on. I want to get up there. I just want to climb them. You know, and which makes me a bit grumpy if, you know, particularly as the boys were growing up. So, you know, it's like, we just want to go. Well, yeah, but how's that all going to work out? And I just want to get out in the hills and climb them, get in amongst them. Actually, as I was saying, this is actually a picture taken in the lakes about, I think, 4 or 5 years ago now, when we were climbing Helvellyn. And so it was a great day. I was able to get my boots on and enjoy that and enjoy climbing that peak up Striding Edge and all that kind of stuff. Anyone else done that? Okay, a couple of you. Yeah, okay, right. Striding Edge is great. It's like this razor sharp bit and you can look down either side and it's all quite dramatic scenery. I don't know why you might be thinking I'll talk about this when I'm reading a passage like 2 Corinthians 5. But, you know, I think that, I don't know what you feel when you read a passage like the one that Judith just read to us from 2 Corinthians 5. I just find that it strangely produces in me the same sort of ache that I have when I'm in a place like the lakes or a mountain range and I just look at all the hills around and I just think, you know, that sort of ache that says, that's where I want to be. You know, that's where I want to be. That's what I want to be doing. You know, that's what it's all about. And a passage like this just produces in me the same sort of desire, the same sort of ache, the same sort of wanting to be like, yes, that's where I want to be. That's the sort of person that I want to be. And in a way, just more and more aware of my own shortcomings that I'm not. And just as you sometimes when you're out in the mountains, you can be aware of more and more of your own fitness levels. You know, that you're not able to do this thing. Or, you know, you think, how will I be able to do that? You know, this is an extraordinary passage. This is, I think if you wanted to do the sort of real gems of Paul's writing, or even within the scriptures, this is one of them for me. This passage from 2 Corinthians 5 is just one of them. I know that when we were looking at what book we might look at next over these few weeks, and I did say to Judith, who kindly put this sermon series together, I said, let's do 2 Corinthians. I said, it's one of my favourite books in the Bible. And it's one of my favourite books in the Bible because it contains passages like this. So it's a real privilege that it's sort of fallen for me to preach on it tonight, but also an enormous challenge. Because, you know, as I look up, I kind of feel like I'm looking up at this passage. I'm aware more than ever of my own shortcomings in what we see here. So anything I say tonight is very much said from that perspective, really. It's an extraordinary description. If you read through it again, as we will look through it in a little bit more detail in a minute, it's an extraordinary description contains within it of what Jesus has done for us and all that he has entrusted to us. As I say, it makes me even more aware of my own shortcomings. Yet strangely, I don't think that's what Paul is trying to do. It's just the effect sometimes that his words, I think, have. I don't think that's what's in his heart. He's not trying to condemn us, far from it. He's wanting to encourage us and sort of take us further on. So let's look at it then a little bit more detail as we go through. Because actually, I want to say this passage all looks very beautiful. Just listen to some of these verses again. Verse 14 says this, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Verse 17, very famous verse, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Verse 18, again, one of my favourites, one of those ones that just is like the peak for me of this. All this is from God. I can't read those words, you know, without sort of this that little shiver, goosebumps thing, really. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And you know, you would think that would be enough, wouldn't you? But even then, Paul doesn't stop. Even that's not enough in one sense. Because not only has God done all this, not only has he reconciled the world to himself, not only is he not counting our sins against us, he also wants to go on and draw us in to his eternal plans and purposes. Because having brought about through the death of Jesus this extraordinary reconciliation, now, says Paul, he has entrusted it to us. He's entrusted to us this ministry of reconciliation and made us his ambassadors. All this is from God, he says, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against us. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Why does this look so beautiful? Well, quite simply, because it is. I think, actually, if you drive through a place like the lakes or the highlands or any of these beautiful mountain ranges that there are around the world, I think they are actually objectively beautiful. I don't think it's just a subjective thing that we happen to think it looks nice. All right, I actually believe there is a thing. I believe beauty actually has an objective quality because it's rooted in the person of God. It's not just in the eye of the beholder. And this passage, I believe, is objectively beautiful. It is a beautiful passage to study and reflect on. Why does it look so beautiful? Well, quite simply, because it is. I mean, the truth is, in our hearts, who doesn't want this? Who doesn't want it? Who doesn't want to be involved in that, to know God's reconciling love and to be involved in that ministry of reconciliation? I mean, who is sitting here thinking, do you know what? I know what the problem with the world is. There's just too much peace and reconciliation in it. I don't think that's true, is it? Yeah, it's just not true. This, I believe, is as solidly beautiful as driving through the lakes and looking up at the mountains. It's just in a different sphere. But whether mountains or writing, it all actually speaks of God's glory. All of it. The beauty of creation, the beauty of God's word, the beauty of this ministry, the beauty of what God has done for us. It all speaks to us of his glory if we're open and listening. It looks beautiful then because it is. But now the challenge is this, isn't it? Try walking up it. Try walking up it. Try walking up there. We received a picture the other day by someone who was praying, and they said that they felt God was saying, we've got, it's great, many people are praying around the church and receiving pictures and words from God, and you can, if that's you and you want to email them in, then you can email them in to prophecy@stjohnswithstmarys.org.uk. And we love to hear them and we love to pray through them. And they actually, if you want to look, if you want to look at what's being shared, then actually if you go to if you're on Facebook, you can go directly to the church Facebook page. And there's a little link there on the left that says discussions. And if you click on that and then you see another one that says something like words given, and that will give you a whole list there of these words that have been given. And as they come in, we're just keeping that up to date. So there's a public record of these words that are given. And actually, if you're not sure about remembering all that, or you think I'm not on Facebook, well, another way to get to it is go to the church website, find the tab that says prayer, and again, there's a link through to it from there. So either way, you can find that as a public record of these words that have been given. And and actually, there was one given relating to yesterday like the Lady Brook, the brook that runs through Lady Brook underneath the culvert that's in under the, which used to be there. I know when I was saying it this at 8:30, some definite nods of the head is yes, there used to be a brook that people remember. Who remembers that here? Anyone remember that? Nobody remembers that. Well, apparently it's there. Okay, it's obviously a different congregation than the 8:30 here this evening. But there is a brook that runs underneath. That's why it's called Lady Brook. And this picture is around God's love flowing actually from Lady Brook, from St. Mary's and from Lady Brook into here. And I believe actually that's really crucial. You know, as we go out and do the sort of things that we were doing yesterday, so God's love will flow back. It's a bit like those water cycles. Do you remember that you learned about in geography at school? You know, the rain goes up and it falls down and then it flows back again. Well, I think it's like that. It's that picture of God's love being at work. It will turn through and roll over and roll back to us as we step out. So anyway, that's not the picture I was talking about. Right, I just thought I'd drop that one in. So we received a different picture the other day, and it says this: we are walking on a woody path. It opens up into a large area of grass where the sun is shining. Now, that sounds nice. I just go, oh, it sounds nice, doesn't it? Yeah, thank you, yes. Right, good. Yeah, so it's lovely woody path, sun shining. You can just imagine it, can't you? Right, anyway, it is beautiful. There you are, that's what we're thinking about tonight. Jesus is with us, and he says to us, I'm not going that way. I'm going this way, and points to a rocky path going up a mountainside. Okay, that wasn't supposed to be funny, so I don't quite know what's going on. If you go to the grassy area, I won't be with you. It's nice when people laugh at your jokes, but not when they laugh when they're not supposed to, isn't it? It's like, it's you! Yeah, it's like, oh, please, yeah, let's just go to that nice grassy area over there. It's nice and green and bright. And okay, yeah, sorry, Lydia. If you go to the grassy area, I won't be with you. But if you go up the path, I will be with you. and will help you. And if necessary, I will carry you for a while. The truth is, of course, and there may be many applications to that picture, but, you know, let's just run with this one for a bit. The truth is that if reconciliation was easy, we would have sorted it a long time ago, wouldn't we? If reconciliation was easy, we would have sorted it a long time ago. So why would you want to do it? Why would you want to, as Lydia's going, no, I don't want to go there. You know, why would you want to do that? What is going to compel you? What is going to drive you to do that, to climb the hill? Something has to take you, something has to be some sort of inner desire, doesn't there, to say, yes, actually, do you know what? I'm not going to let this defeat me. I'm not going to let it beat me. I've actually been reading, I'm reading a book at the moment, actually, about a guy who climbed Everest. I sort of just found it in this bookshop the other day. I thought, well, that looks interesting, about the 1996 Everest disaster, when all these people died on Everest and all the mistakes they made, all the things they did. But what's fascinating about it also talks a bit about their history of people who climbed Everest to begin with. And it just tells a little bit of that story. And the extraordinary inner compulsion that people must have had to want to do that. You know, actually, even today, you know, the extraordinary inner compulsion you've got to have to want to climb a mountain like Everest must be extraordinary. I can't really imagine that. Although, you know, from some of the mountain and hill walking that I've done, which I love, you know, I do know a little bit about that feeling of, I just want to get to the top. You know, something has to sort of drive you up there, doesn't it? I remember once our friends, two of my close friends, about 10, 12 years ago, we were climbing, I can't remember, it's the highest peak on the Isle of Mull, I can't remember what it's called now. But anyway, we got about two-thirds of the way up, and Tim, our friend, it's Tim and Simon and I, a couple of friends of mine, and he said, I can't do it. I can't get any further. It's like, I just can't do it. And we had to turn back. It's like, no, yeah, exactly, yes! You can tell, still feel the pain. You know, I had to tell me. So anyway, Tim then went off with his wife and I think their little girl, as she was at the time. And Simon and I then, about 3 days later, went off and climbed about four in a row. Just to sort of, yes, we can still do this. It wasn't us kind of thing, you know. and we've never quite forgiven him for it, to be honest. So I hope he never listens to this sermon. Otherwise, I'm in all sorts of trouble. No one's allowed to Facebook him and say, yeah, oh, Tim, you know, because some of you probably know him. Listen to him and listen to what Mark said in his sermon about your... He'll go, oh no, you're not still going on about that, are you? So, there you go. Something has to compel us, doesn't it? Something has to drive us up there. What is it that's going to drive us and compel us into this ministry of reconciliation that Paul talks about? What's going to take us there? What's going to keep us going up the hill? Well, Paul is clear, isn't he? What does he say, verse 14? For Christ's love compels us. It's a pushing out thing. You know, sometimes we get this picture wrong, don't we? Sometimes we think that, oh, you know, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Because the Bible tells, isn't it lovely? Oh, the Bible tells, Jesus loves me. It's fantastic. Actually, that's not the picture here, is it? Christ's love compels us. It will force us out. It will push us out. It's not going to leave us in the nice leafy green glades all the time. It's going to take us to places that perhaps we would rather not go. And if we don't think that's what it's about, then we're not reading the scriptures. We're not getting into what it really says. You know, time and time and time again, there's pictures there of people being compelled to go to places they didn't want to go. You know, Jesus says to Peter, famously, after his resurrection, he ties a belt around him and he says, one day people are going to lead you to a place that you don't want to go. Why? Because his love will compel him. Paul, again and again and again, is compelled to go to places that I'm quite sure he would rather not have gone to. You know, we were reading just a few weeks ago, weren't we, about when he was saying, you know, it's only just about a chapter before, I can probably even have the page open. What does it say? We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You know, you can only say those things if you've experienced that compelling power of God's love to push us out. So you might be thinking there, well, how does this work? How does Christ's love compel us to engage in this ministry of reconciliation? How practically does it work? What does it actually do? What difference does it make to say, actually, I'm reconciled with God, so therefore I'm going to be reconciled with one another? How does that, if you want to use the phrase, cash out? I think it's. I read a book a little while ago called The Culture of Honor by an American guy called Danny Silk, who's involved in Bethel Church in California. If you know any of Bill Johnson's stuff, he's an associate of his. And he writes very interestingly, I think, and it's been something that's been up on my heart for a number of months now, about the fact that actually Christ has taken our punishment on the cross. He's taken it. It's done with. It's dealt with. It's sorted. It's finished. As the prayer book communion service says something like, full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. It's done. Christ's death takes all the punishment between us and God. And if God has taken all of that away, then why do we need to punish each other? Truth is, isn't it, that we mess things up and get them wrong all the time. I know that I do. I know that each one of us does, because we're human. But the great liberating truth of the gospel is that we can deal with each other's imperfections without having to punish each other for them. All we need to do instead is to listen and to learn and to go forward. We need to remove the punishment. You know, isn't that central to the message of Jesus, actually? Isn't that central to the message of the parable? Isn't that like the parable of the unforgiving servant, where, you know, he's forgiven so much and then he goes out and still wants to punish and get after the guy just owes him 50p? You know that story? You know, it's like we've got to find ways to take that out. And yes, there's stuff we've got to deal with, and yes, there's stuff we've got to do. But actually, we need to find ways to remove that sting really out of it. And only Christ's love. We can't do that on our own. We can't. We don't have the resources. We don't have the ability to do that ourselves. I don't have the ability to do that myself. And you know what? Neither do you. And that's okay. Because actually, it's only as we come to God and allow His Spirit to work through us and His love to compel us that we can even begin to start to do that. But it's not easy. It's like climbing up the hill. You know, actually, I don't think God is going to come down and give us a helicopter ride to the top. You know, what did Jesus say? You know, sometimes we can think it's like that as well, can't we? Oh, you know, God, you can do anything. Why can't you just do this? Well, because it just doesn't work that way. Because actually, God wants us to be whole people and mature people under Him. And if He just gives us a helicopter ride to the top, then we'll miss out on all of that stuff that we need to learn through and grow through. You know, it's not the same, is it? You know, sometimes you can get a cable. I remember actually once when we were on holiday in Austria, and there was a cable car to the top of this mountain, and I was a bit nuts, so I said, no, I want to climb it. But, you know, I have to say there was a slight sense of satisfaction bordering on smugness when we got to the top, you know, that I'd climbed this mountain, and, you know, I just came from the cable car, you know. You know, it's different, isn't it? You know, and actually it's not, I know there's sort of danger, what isn't that doing it by our own efforts? Well, actually it's God will go with us. It's a strange thing, isn't it? You know, it's not by our own efforts. No, clearly it's not, but doesn't Jesus tell us to take up our cross daily and follow Him? You know, and it's somewhere in that tension between those two things. Yes, it's all done for us. I'm not taking anything away from that. But actually, we're called to take up our cross. We're called to engage and walk this path. So, yes, we need to deal with each other's imperfections without the punishment. The punishment's removed and taken away at the cross. As we freely receive, so freely we can give. And when we get to the top, you know, the thing is, it's amazing, isn't it? Let's go to our next picture. This is our next picture. So this is when we got to the top. Hooray! Okay, you can tell because it's snow, look. So it was high. Sort of-ish. Anyway, so it's the top. That is actually Striding Edge. I think you can just see that sort of... I know it's a bit not very clear on this picture. You know, the truth is, when you get to the top, you know, there's nothing to touch it, is there? When the Christian community is working as it should, in my experience, there's nothing... that touches. There's nothing that comes close, actually. to the Christian community working as it should. Yes, we know that it doesn't always work as it should. But when it does, there's nothing to touch it. There's nothing like it, actually. You know, that's why, as a church, we have a vision. You know, the thing about a vision, in a sense, is it's a bit like a mountain peak that, in a way, you know, it's always going to be in front of you, which, you know, sometimes can be a bit, I don't know, you know, you sort of want to get there. And actually, what you have to see is that you do get there in stages, and one day we will get there. But that will be when God decides to, you know, perhaps not in this life, but in the age to come, we will see this vision fulfilled. And we have to have that perspective. Otherwise, this is too hard. It's too hard to do this thing without that eternal perspective. We're not called to do it without the perspective of the life of the age to come, when it will be done. So yes, we're always going to have that sense of struggle here, I'm afraid. But that's not to say that we don't pray for the kingdom to come now. Your kingdom come, your will be done now on earth as it is in heaven, in this place as it is in heaven. You know, we're always wanting to call that forward. But yes, you know, we live in that tension between where we are now and what we will be then. But that's why we have a vision. And actually, it's an inside-outside vision, quite deliberately. You know, inside is about allowing the transforming power of God to change us to be the people he is calling us to be. To be a people transformed by God. It's an inside vision. It must work in here. We must be people of reconciliation who practice this ministry of reconciliation, who know God's reconciliation for ourselves and with one another in that way that removes the sting, that removes the punishment, that just allows his grace to flow in and through our own community. And yes, it's an outside vision. It drives us out. It takes us out. Christ's love compels us. And actually, you know, I suppose if you wanted to think back to that picture that we had of the water flowing down and think about it in terms of that sort of rain cycle, you know, it works because it moves, doesn't it? You know, you think about your heart pumping your blood around your body. It works because it moves, because it's moving. So it must be a dynamic process. We must have it inside to go out and then outside to flow back in. It must be dynamic. And you can't have one without the other. It must flow. The life has to flow like that. You know, the blood has to come back to the lungs to be reoxygenated and then go around the body again. And it just flows and moves like that. And actually, I think that's come straight out of this passage in 2 Corinthians 5. It's all here. Verse 18 says this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Actually, I hadn't really thought of that until I just read it. So what a great picture, isn't it? God doesn't count our sins against us. So, you know, the calling for us is this, isn't it? We don't count one another's sins against each other either. And, you know, we have to find a way somehow to do that here. And that's not easy, because we're human. You know, it's like sometimes it's a bit like walking up the hill, part of picking up our cross daily and following him. But it most certainly takes us out. What does it go on to say? Verse 19 to 20. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So yes, there is an inward dimension to this. There's an inward dimension within the community. He's writing to a community of people. And actually, Corinthian church had plenty of issues that it had to work through. If you read through his letters, that so much is evidently clear. And yet, the crazy thing is, Paul writes to this sort of a bit fractious, difficult, sometimes troublesome church. And he says this to them: God has committed to us, to you, the message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation for Mansfield has been in part entrusted to us. And actually, you know, it's not our responsibility to make sure it's entrusted to anybody else. We have to We have to take that here as our responsibility. We can't just leave that for somebody else. The message of reconciliation has been entrusted to us. Which may leave us feel like saying, do you know what, I don't know, it does to me. Feels like, God, are you mad? You know, certainly for me personally, it's like, you know, for my part, it's, God, are you mad? What have you given it to me for? I'm not worthy of that. And then it gets even worse. He says, we therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You know, an ambassador, by its very nature, must be sent, mustn't it? You know, where is the British ambassador to the United Kingdom? Where in London is the British embassy? Well, it's a stupid idea, isn't it? Why would you have a British embassy in London? You don't need one. You're in Britain. You see? It's like, it's crazy, isn't it? You know, so where's the, you know, we can't, where are we God's ambassadors to St. John's Church? Well, it doesn't make any sense. It's like it's a category error. You just can't do it. You know, to be an ambassador, you have to be sent. You have to go out. You have to step out. You can't be an ambassador to the church. You have to be an ambassador to the world to represent God. What an extraordinary thing. So, tomorrow, where will we be tomorrow? Maybe not tomorrow. Well, I don't know. Where will we be tomorrow morning? Where are we all going to be tomorrow morning? You okay? Work? Where are you going to be? Where are we going to be here?
In bed?
Okay, yes. Yeah, thanks, Steve. Right, that's really helpful. So, okay, once you got out of bed, what will you do after you got out of bed? Well, you're going to be in bed all day. Okay, he doesn't know. Okay, so Steve will be in bed. Is he going to be at work? Where else is anyone going to be? Where are you going to be working, Jay? Where will you be? Where's that? So Jay will be at St. Andrew's Healthcare. Meryl, where will you be? Yeah, Meryl will be in school. Anyone else want to? Someone will be shopping, okay. Diane will be shopping. Anyone else? Oh, Lydia will be at Water Meadows having a swimming lesson. Wherever we're going to be, in all those different places, whether at work or at school, maybe school is your work. You know, or factories or hospitals or media outlets, you know. Or maybe tomorrow night in our families. You know, we will be Christ's ambassadors. You know, an ambassador when they're in another country is always an ambassador. They don't stop being the ambassador. You know, we are Christ's ambassadors. This is our calling. And yes, we recognize that this needs to be a place more and more, actually, where, you know, we can sometimes think about mission and this ambassadorial role as, you know, maybe doing things like the fun day yesterday or doing things that are kind of church ministry. And, you know, we need to rethink that, really. We need to rethink that. It's, you know, many, many of you are at the most important place. Your ambassadorial role is in your workplace or at Water Meadows or at shopping or, you know, wherever you are. Wherever we are Christ's ambassadors. And actually, we're never off duty, actually. You know, an ambassador when they're in a foreign country is really never off duty, and neither are we. You know, I don't want to say that to make you sound paranoid. But actually, it's about, you know, and actually, how can we do that by ourselves? We can't. We can only do that by allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. Only by allowing this life to flow. Only about allowing that to circulate, the life to circulate, can we do that? You know, I have to confess that actually, as a vicar, we're not always best placed to do this because it's so busy doing church stuff. And actually, sometimes we need to have our vision changed. I confess that to you. I'm aware of that, although I need to still work through that, I think, a little bit. Maybe we need to do more stuff where we hear more from you. I know many churches do something called Where Will You Be This Time Tomorrow, which is what I was a little bit, you know, and actually getting people up to say, actually, tell us what you're doing tomorrow. And actually then we can hear that and pray for people, just in a way, as a symbolic way of saying, actually, you know, that's really what matters. It's not about what happens here. It's about what happens in all those different places that we will be as Christ's ambassadors tomorrow. bringing this ministry of reconciliation, being people of that, being people who bring that into our workplaces, who bring that into our schools, who bring that. Maybe it actually shopping queues can be a nightmare, can't they? You know, it's like, you know, go to Tesco's, you know, it's like, it's just, you know, actually, you never know. So it's not like, well, I'm just going shopping. It's like, you know, well, actually, it's, you know, it's like, actually, can be, yeah, you know, I know you've got four baskets, and but it's okay, you know, I'm not going to get, you go in front of me or whatever, I don't know, you know, it's that kind of stuff, isn't it? All sorts of things that you could do that bring this ministry of reconciliation. But actually, it's really important that, you know, we have this ambassadorial role. And we need to support one another, because actually, you know, I know that's tough. And for many of you, there's some tough challenges at work, or whether it is, you know, especially for Diane going shopping tomorrow. But, you know, seriously, there's some tough challenges there. And we need to be people who support one another in this ministry, which we're all called to. So the challenge for us, I guess, as I am bringing this to a close, you'll be glad to know. The challenge for us is this, isn't it? Just think back to that picture again of, you know, the green lovely, you know, bit where Lydia wants to go. There's that challenge. Will we climb? Will we walk this path together, actually, with that promise that God will be with us? You know, with that promise that he will go with us if we go, you know? Or will we simply, you know, drive through and admire from afar? Will we dive into this passage and these passages, this calling? You know, will we dive into it? Will we walk it? Will we walk that sometimes hard road? You know, or will we just sort of drive around in our car and go, oh, that's really pretty, isn't it? That's really beautiful. Will we get in amongst it? Get our hands dirty? Will we admire the ministry of reconciliation as a good idea? Or will we do what we can to bring it about? Will we just keep it in the church, or will we take it out as the ambassadors we are called to be? I'll pray, and I'll ask you to pray for me and for each one of us, that we will take forward this calling that God has placed upon us, so that we can be, as our vision statement says, a people transformed by God, transforming the community around us. Amen.
Thanks, Mark. Just thinking, you know, how we can best sort of respond to that. And I just think, you know, this is something for each and every one of us. And just reinforce those words, Mark said that, you know, wherever we are an ambassador. And we can't decide to go off duty or just not bother. So I think it'd be really good to do, just to take a few moments, just to invite you to just turn to one or two people next to you. And first of all, just very briefly, just sort of share where will you be tomorrow? And just think about the people that you'll meet, whether it's people that you meet regularly, whether you're going to be out somewhere, you know, just rubbing alongside people that you've never met before, never seen before. And then just take a moment or two to pray for each other. And just pray that as, you know, this person you're sitting next to, as they're in that place tomorrow, that they will just be open to the Holy Spirit's prompting. you want to do that now, just sort of turn to people around you. If you're really not comfortable with it, that's absolutely fine. Just, you know, nobody has to. But just turn to somebody around you and just share where are you going to be tomorrow or, you know, later on this week? Who are you going to be meeting with? Okay, if you'd just like to start when you're ready and just pray for one another.